now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Welcome back again. It's the second hour of our OCG birthday special. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I am... Laura Lanham. I know. I was just having a laugh. It's birthday time. So the lovely Mike Ho will be joining us a little bit later.
Plus, there's a drag queen or two hanging around, I'm sure.
Oh, be careful. Stay tuned to find out more of this shout out. Oh. Thank you, Andy. Did Ed do that for me in the first one?
No.
Oh, how good. Because I'm about to say, how dare you?
And to be fair, actually, we didn't play that one the first time. We did the happy birthday one. Because it is happy birthday, but I thought I'd save it in this half for Mike's one.
No, obviously, I'm very happy with that because that is my thing. Yeah. But we are joined by some fabulous people.
Hello.
Hiya.
Eva, which I love. And a Tess.
Hello, you all right?
And obviously some other lovely people.
Hi. Lovely Lisa's here and Steph.
Hello.
Let's out of the tech area.
I have, yeah, but I brought my tech with me.
So, have you got over the heart attack of Terry's email yet?
Of his email?
Of his emails.
Oh, his email, yes. Yeah, well, I tried not to look, but...
So, I'll give you a clue. Do not look at Alex.
Why?
Yeah, what happened?
What have I done now?
I've only just
got here.
Well,
Jesus wept. Hello. Hello. I'm good. How are we?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Have you calmed
Less
down from Pride now?
Now we're on air and it's all going fine. But I'm sure you know that one for when you do like the Pride stage.
Oh,
you?
This is nothing, dear. Christ alive. Just pop a Red Bull, you'll be fine.
How was Pride for you?
Busy.
Yeah.
Busy, but it was amazing. It was great. It was perfect. It was, the weather was the right weather.
Yes.
It wasn't as wet as last year.
No.
And it wasn't.
It gave.
And it wasn't the hell that was the year before.
That was literally desert.
We were literally in hell. Mm-hmm. That's how hot it was. So the weather was great. The acts were phenomenal. Everybody did what they had to do. My team were a dream.
We were sensational.
We were absolutely sensational.
Absolutely fabulous.
You actually Joanna Lumley would come down and say that herself. Like, you were fabulous. I loved the stage. Like, you were always nice to like be at. Like, it was nice to see the acts. It was such a variety of acts, different like ethnicities, varieties. It was beautiful. I loved it.
I think that's one of the things though, when Alid's putting the stage together, it's very much, it's representative of the world we live in, but also extremely talented as well. You know, we want to be representative of the entire drag scene, not just people who...
One particular POV of drag.
Exactly.
Full representation of what it's on to offer. And me and Tess were, as some would say, absolutely fabulous, as Patsy and Eddie.
I was going to say, explain, because not everyone made it down there.
No.
And I saw the photos afterwards. Of course, we were broadcasting over on the main stage.
Of course.
Give a bit of a recap. What happened? How did it come about?
So, I start planning the cabaret stage in around November, ready for the July. And
we have a takeaway and a sit down, don't we?
We have a takeaway and a sit down.
We get a pizza or something tasty and sit down and go...
Who's good?
I think the scene in Bristol has started to call it judges' houses. I have a look at the lineup, I have a look at the performers, and that's when I decide what's what.
Did
and
you
this
get
year,
people to submit? Like who?
No.
It's not that cruel.
It isn't that cruel. I don't ask for a show reel. It's a.
It's
think
not
of it as.
No.
Some prides do.
Yeah, no, they do. Yeah. Think of it as the Willy Wonka golden ticket, let's say.
I love a golden ticket.
As opposed to the Glasgow Willy Wonka experience.
And this year I really wanted to increase the number of Bristol representation on the stage. And one of the easiest ways to do that without reducing any kind of time and restrictions with our time frames was to make every host a double act. So I paired some performers together. Me and Tess are best friends out of Drag and In Drag. We do brunches together. So I was like, well, it's me and Tess. That's who I'm pairing myself with. Perks of doing the lineup, I suppose. But we sat there and we were, and I was like, Tess, you're hosting with me. It's a double act. And she was like, camp, great. And then it was probably a couple of weeks later, we were sat in one of our friends' living room and we were like, right, we have to do a duo. We're going to do a joint performance. And I looked at Tess and went, name the gayest, most iconic double act you know. And she kind of looked at me with a bit of a blank face because the cogs were turning because she's a bit older than me. and I turned around and was like, we are doing Patsy and Eddie. And
because when you look at us in drag, she is constantly chain smoking in a blonde wig, and I'm normally just behind her on some sort of diet without losing any weight, huffing and puffing on my aspirin inhaler, just flailing my arms. So it made sense for us to kind of do that because it is pretty much us.
Having seen the photos, you really looked the part.
I kept calling Chapel Roan as well, which was interesting because the wig wasn't supposed to be that ginger, but it worked.
So we sat on it since the end of November and told no one, and then Pride happens. We host in our gowns and we host for Heidi. We then miss most of Heidi in Closet's performance because we're...
Including doing a split right off the stage as well.
Her falling off the stage in a running split. She got back up.
On
she
purpose,
went into the crowd.
No, it was a complete mistake
and she styled it out. It was Campus Christmas. I'm getting pacified. Hear the crowd go like, ah! And I'm like, oh, she's done a death, like she's done a jump split. Little did I know it was a jump split off of the stage. By accident, she went tumbling over the edge. Anyway, she got back up. She went into the crowd. She had a camp all time. And then she was outside the Bear Bar on Saturday night having a kiki. Anyway, sorry, Mike. I know we're in the OCG, but we love you, really. So we sat on it. And then we're getting pacified as she's on.
And edified, thank you. Edified is an actual word. It doesn't work like that, does it?
And then we literally just stumble onto the stage as Patsy and Eddie and turn it absolutely out.
We did an hour meet and greet after the performance. We came out into the crowd.
Can you do the voices?
No, Joanna Lumley's got
such a distinctive voice. It's really difficult to do.
I just came out going like, sweetie, darling, darling, sweetie. but it was the walk, I think, that I... It was her characterization that I got down rather than the voice. But we came off stage, went into the crowd to say hello to the Bisons and a couple of our friends, and we literally could have set up a Drag Race booth
meet and greet
from DragCon with a meet and greet for a fiver and made an absolute killing because the amount of photos and people that were coming up to us.
Yeah, you should have capitalized on that real quick. £10, please.
It was crazy, and we're both still like, both of us could be out now and we've still got people coming up to us being like, oh my god, Patsy and Eddie was amazing.
So it does leave you with one question. How are you going to outdo it next year?
Oh, don't, because we have ideas.
The Sunday after Pride, we have like three drag queens come up to both of us going, that was iconic and you two are incredible, but how the bleep are you going to top that for next year? And both of us were just like, let us get over this year.
Is there a video of it? Because I need to see this.
It's on both of our Instagrams. So I basically took all of the Instagram clips and our friends videoed some bits and bobs for us, and I put it together almost like a supercut. So you can I basically kind of like cut around the bits where I might have like flubbed the choreography or something, which never happens but did, live theatre. So yeah, we've cut around that so you kind of see it from like all angles. So
would you be willing to do the double egg again? Would you invite them back for like a drag show here?
As soon as we came off stage and got the feedback that we got, I turned around to Tess and went, we are making money from this. We are now capitalising this. So if anybody would like a Patsy and Eddie themed hosts, then we already have the wig and the costumes ready to go. So whether that's a brunch, whether that's a cute,
whether that's
a cute corporate gig, a retirement, a bar mitzvah, whether it's a birthday, whether it's a brunch,
or like the old Castle Green, you never know.
Oh, I see.
I knew where you were going with that.
A verbal contract is binding in Bristol.
A verbal contract is binding in Bristol.
Spit on my hand.
But I think from literally the, like, so we sat down, we had another takeaway. takeaway when we sat down. We eat a lot of takeaways when we're together. We literally sat down and we went through as many different clips of the show that we could find and went, what's going to work for the number? And then what songs go for that? And then I just kind of went away, came back 20 minutes later when I got home and went, so this is the number we're doing. And she was like, how have you done that so quickly? I was like, I don't have a life outside of drag.
Tess actually
doesn't. What is life outside of drag?
It's my full-time job. So I was like, there we go, done.
Hello.
So drag is still a huge thing, isn't it? I mean, I know you have drag here at the OCG as well.
We do, don't you?
Shout out to Spank and Cynthia. We love you.
We do a bi-weekly quiz with Spank and Cynthia. They're amazing.
We love them.
We love them so much. They're also queens. Not as good as, obviously.
Both are valid and good.
Yeah, bi-weekly every Wednesday. Next one's next Wednesday, actually.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, I definitely
from
come for that.
7, 8 o'clock.
Is it free to play, Mike?
It's free to play.
What are the prizes, Mike?
Well, can I answer all of them on air? I don't know. The winning, so it's free to play. Winning team gets to spin the wheel. And there's multiple prizes from a bar tab. £50 bar tab is the main prize.
Wow.
To Prosecco, shots, a gift of Spank, the Queen's Mystery Prize.
No one wants that. Nobody wants that.
Sippy does.
They are an engaged couple,
they
just so you know.
They are an engaged couple. They're amazing. They would have been here tonight, but they're doing some drag brunch in some other city.
I met the other day?
Oh, yeah. That's what it's like to be
rich. Let's just say a gift from Spank is probably better than a gift from Bieber.
Oh, stop it. Oh my goodness.
I love my life.
My goodness.
But I mean, because Alex, I know you're quite your local. I don't know if you're local.
I live in Leicester.
So you're both locals. Do you spend most of your time doing drag here in Bristol, or are you off round all over the country? I mean, how is it working these days? Is it more of a local thing or more national?
I would say that I'm the local queen out of both of us.
I tour. So I turn up basically. So I like last week I was in Bournemouth and then Cardiff. Next week I'm in Liverpool. The week after that I'm in Manchester. So I get
and,
to tour.
And yep. last week, because the fee was right, she went to an opening of a bag of crisps. So she literally does go where the money is. Yeah. She will go to any gig.
Not any. I've turned things down. Don't worry. Like, you know, if it doesn't feel right, I won't go. But no, it pays my bills. So, you know, I'm really, I'm fortunate and I'm grateful to any gig that has like taken a chance on me.
And if people do want to see you,
it's a well-calculated, like, you know, decision. Well, you're amazing at what you do.
Yeah. And if people in Bristol do want to see you, Tess, where can they go on a Friday or a Saturday?
Are you okay today?
I know. She's just trying to get me work. Do I owe you money or something?
Probably.
Yeah, so I mean, we both work. I do a lot of stuff at Tonight Josephine in Bristol. I'm at Seamus O'Donnell's at the end of the month. Mike Coe should book me at some point. But yeah, I'm all over.
The diary's open next week. We'll speak.
Thank you. It's good
that there's so many venues still doing it, because, you know, it has gone up and down over the years. I mean, I remember when I was in my teens all that long, long, long time ago, it was huge. And then it did go through a slump where it kind of like disappeared a lot. And I think partly because of RuPaul, but not just that. It then did this big rebound and you saw it come back again, didn't you?
I think RuPaul does have a lot to answer for when it comes to drag, because, you know, look at 5 years ago, me and Tess would not have been being booked for drag brunches anywhere. True. let alone in a bar, a Thursday night gig, watching a TV show when you're in drag, sat down with a microphone just talking about the TV show, would have never happened. So I think for certain aspects of it, it definitely did reinvigorate. I think it gave quite a few of the UK queens a bit of a nudge up their rear end to kind of improve their look, to up their game.
Including us, to be fair.
And I think because there is a lot of drag now, you do have to really be on top of your game and you can't really rest on your laurels as much anymore. But I think in general, I think the way that the world is as well now, when we're looking at it kind of politically and socially, people want an escape from the UK or from what's happening outside their front door, which is quite horrible, depressing. It's angry. We're all angry. Things are just not happening the way that we want or how quickly we want them. And you can go to a a safe space. You can go to a queer venue, sit down with your people, feel comfortable that you're going to be held by your drag queen, who is always that queen at that venue, who will take you on a journey for an hour and just make you forget what's happening. And people need that escapism. People want that release.
Part of the reason why you book drag here, what made you decide to put drag nights on with drag queens here?
Well, we did it mainly for the community because it was something they were asking for. So we were like, let's go for it. Obviously, when we first opened, we started doing a lot of drag every week. Had a lot of noise complaints.
That's
stopped it for
one.
A little bit. We started doing queers again with drag. But it's also one of them, like, drag is, fortunately for a lot of our queens, in a lot of venues. So we tried to do something different. That's why we did the drag quiz. So it wasn't repetitive. So our queens get to do something different in different venues, and then a lot of our customers who want that, like Alice said, that safe space, somewhere to go, they're not going to the same old thing, so they can go to see them in certain venues and seeing live performances, then come here for something like a quiz and something different. And yeah, it just, like, yeah, I don't know, it brings them out to an open, healthier venue.
It's definitely community building, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I think that's what at the heart drag does. It feels like it literally drags people together, like, and it says, like, you are, like, said.
From the beginning, you know, drag queens, drag kings, drag performers have been at the start of absolutely everything. They were the first people who were at the front of every Pride March. One of them supposedly threw the first brick, but that's debatable. But they've been there at the front during the 80s, during the 90s. It was them who were hosting 7 wakes a week. When the rest of our community was being decimated and people weren't doing anything about us. Drag queens have been at the front of absolutely everything. They've always been at the pivotal moments of any kind of social thing that's been happening with the queer, the LGBTQIA plus community. And they will always and forever have a space. And when times are difficult, the community do look at their drag performers for guidance, for leadership. What are they doing? Are they using their voice? What are they doing now? Where are they going? And if they need to feel safe, if they need to feel seen, if they need to feel held, they will go to a venue where a drag act is performing, because not only does it kind of like take them back to that time where they were very much more needed, but it's also that security blanket. They know that if they're on their own and there's a drag act happening in a bar, they can go there, they can sit down, and they're going to be safe. They're going to be okay, because if anybody does want to start, the drag queen will be the first person
to
over the security guard to see it, call it out, and then get the security guard to kick them out, because I've seen that happen a couple of times as well. So I think it's like, drag is just very much part of the community. It always has been. We've always been there, and we always will be. And the evolution going through is just been amazing.
But I also think, like Alid touched on there, you know, it's very easy to sit there and say drag queens do this, drag queens do that. We have to obviously be able to pay homage to obviously drag kings and all drag performers across the spectrum. I know obviously Mike did an old Castle Green Pride Sunday, the day after Pride here, where there were drag kings as well in the performances as well. I mean, I was part of it as well. You know, I was one of the performers lucky enough to perform it. So you have booked me, actually, so I should shut my mouth.
The shade can stop.
I know. So I should apologise for that, but I won't. It's great to kind of see all different facets of drag thriving out here, and we have to make sure that all facets of drag are getting equal opportunities out there when it comes to performances. And I think, once again, that's one thing that you do really well, Alid, when you are booking for the cabaret stage in Bristol as well.
Cool. Well, this is, you can always tell when you've got performers on a microphone, because you don't have to do much for the talking. It's absolutely wonderful.
I struggle to get a word in edgeways.
Sorry, but they hear your voice every week, Andy. They want something new coming through their ears.
Something fresh and hot.
Well, as much as I hate to say, though, we are actually out of time. But listen, it's been lovely talking to the pair. It's really good to know that it's still a very active
Bristol is
thing
buzzing for drag. Oh,
yeah. And we do need to see AFAB come back at some point. It'd be really good to see the pair of you.
Well, the next time you do a shout out awards, you know, Patsy and Eddie could host the award ceremony.
That could be a little
And that is determined to present the awards.
That is
February. I had a small spot last time. Everybody loved it. I was actually rather PC. I could have got a lot worse. It was innuendo.
I filmed you. That's what worries us.
I was PC.
PC for you.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, we are rapidly running out of time. But thank you so much for coming and
talking to us.
It's been lovely having you.
Always a pleasure.
Stay with us. We're in our second hour of our lovely OCG birthday special. Got some new stuff coming up next, and we'll be catching up with Mike about a bit more about OCG and what's
Happy birthday. You get the two parts. Stay with us.
You're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Kings and Queens. I think that's why you really like that song, don't you?
Oh, I do.
You asked to sit that one in.
I play it on my Friday show quite often. It's a really cracking song, isn't it? Yeah, and another one I like, Lionheart. I like that one as well.
I couldn't find that. I did look. I must have either put it somewhere.
You've played it on the show before.
I thought you'd say that.
You have. Because that's where I heard it first. And that one, I think.
If you're wondering where your ears are,
by the way, BCFM Radio.
Where?
Hello. Very warm welcome to you on BCFM. We're at OCG.
We are.
Old Castle Green. It's getting dark. I'm very pleased that Mike turned the lights on.
Yeah, it's lovely.
There's a lovely ambiance.
I love this. Can we do it more here often, please?
More here often, yes, I concur.
Do not compliment.
No, I was concurring.
Oh, okay, yeah, I but concur. I said that more wrong. That was poor English. Can we do it here more often?
Yes,
please. You two right over there?
Yes.
No,
but why do people keep putting us next to each other?
This is bad decisions all round for everybody.
Right, we got a little bit of kind of off the wall news.
A few lighter stories.
Lighter, a bit of community interest stories.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, drinks are being served. Now, this is something we don't have at the regular studio.
Ever have it? That's nice. Lemonade before you worry. I can definitely get used to this, you know. Star treatment. Come through. Let's go.
Let's get some off the wall news.
This is Shout Out News Extra. Welcome along. The Sydney Star Observer, which is the oldest LGBTQIA+ newspaper in the Antipodes, reports just in time for Brisbane Leather Week, Corium returns for their 2024 event. Presented by Bootco, the party you know and love is back, they say, bigger and wetter than ever. Come join in the fun on a host of steamy and hot nights of filth as the part of the year takes over the wet spa and sauna in Bowen Hills. The doors open from 7pm and provide access to two levels of fun in this male-only event. Keeping the party pumping through the night is DJ Fradge as he hits the decks from late into the night until the early morning. Trans men are recognised as men, and Bootco welcomes anyone who identifies as male. September the 14th, 7pm to 2am. The location is the Wet Spa and Sauna, Jay's Street, Bowen Hills. Tickets are £35 and are available from humanitix.com/BLW Corium 2024.
Sandy Toksvig, television presenter, writer and raconteur, has published a message in her role as patron of Humanists UK, formerly the British Humanist Association. In it, Sandy says, "I'm a humanist because I want to help change the world, because I don't need an invisible friend telling me how to do it, and because I don't need a reward when I'm done." As you know, Humanists UK has been at the forefront of numerous campaigns that aim to foster a society where everyone can live with dignity and freedom. As a member of the LGBTQ community, I believe that every individual deserves to live authentically, free from discrimination and prejudice. Humanists UK is committed to advocating for policies that protect and uplift human beings, promoting inclusive education and challenging, at the highest levels, harmful religious practices like so-called conversion therapy and anti-abortion blockades outside hospitals. There are only two countries in the world where representatives of the state religion automatically get a seat at the legislature. They are the UK and Iran. A curious and indeed uncomfortable club of two belong to. These bishops can vote on every law that is passed, and indeed, 9 of them turned up to vote in 2013 on the Act of Parliament, which introduced same-sex marriage. They all voted against. Of course, everyone is entirely free to think as they please. What they should not be allowed to do is hold sway in the Houses of Parliament, where they're only there by dint of their religion. Doesn't matter what your faith is or isn't, it's discriminatory, and it has to stop. Together, we can create a society of true democracy, and one that not only accepts but celebrates diversity. You can find out more about the work of Humanist UK by visiting their website at humanists.uk.
LGBT Consortium, which represents hundreds of LGBTQIA+ charities and voluntary organisations, report that funding is available for small groups now. They say, thanks for further funding from the National Lottery Community Fund, which is the largest in the United Kingdom, Consortium and its community partners are delighted to deliver a second round of the LGBT+ Futures Equity Fund. The fund has been enabled thanks to National Lottery players and will focus on supporting user-led LGBT plus organisations in England who are working with targeted underrepresented and under-resourced communities. A total pot of £500,000 is available through small grants of between £100 and £25,000 for organisational running costs, project and
QIA Newswire is available.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Steffi Barnett.
News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Bit unmistakable, that one, really, isn't it? The lovely Kylie, you know.
Yeah, no, I actually do like that song, to be fair. And I was singing along to it.
You said you hate it.
I do hate it, but I love to hate it. Do you know what I mean? You're like, put them, but I hate
it. It's supposed to be like that. You wouldn't think back to I Should Be So Lucky. You're far too young to remember it.
No, I need.
Do you remember I Should Be So Lucky?
What do you mean? I know I Should Be So Lucky.
You're younger than me.
I mean, I'm not that old, but yeah, sure.
I remember I Should Be So Lucky. What are you talking about?
Who doesn't know
it? You were not born when that song came out.
It doesn't matter. I still know it.
I wasn't born when it came out.
No.
When did it come out? I'm late 80s.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it was 80s.
Secondary school.
The fact that she's still going, though, is pretty damn good, though.
She's doing very well, yeah.
Very well.
Looking amazing, isn't she?
The fact that she's so good that she managed to pull her sister in as well. Woof! That was the whole thing. It's a double act. But yeah, we've got something to celebrate today.
We have indeed, yes.
What have we got to celebrate?
It's a certain birthday.
Ooh, whose birthday could that be?
Whose birthday?
Do you feel like you now have two birthdays because you got one for the venue and your own?
I'm like the queen, I have multiple. So I've got two for myself and then one for the venue.
Two for yourself, Dan.
Well, why not?
I mean, honey, do it. If you're going to milk it dry.
No, you see, my other half wants to have a say. He wants to do what the queen and probably the king does too, because his birthday's November. He's like, it's always cold. I want to have a summer one.
Yeah, I'm a December baby.
Yeah,
but I have multiple birthdays.
Yeah,
I just celebrate my life all the time anyway.
Well,
so
why not? How old is OCG?
The pub is 4. So technically, she's born in the 1700s. I think might have been 1750.
Really, that was when the building was made.
This is when the building was built.
I'm assuming it wasn't built to be a pub, though.
As far as we can date back, yes, it was
really?
A pub.
So
the whole street used to be retail and pubs. So we're going to assume it was a pub from the 1700s.
Okay.
And then I resurrected her in 4 years ago. Yes.
Now, can we ask why you went back to the name? Because it was Old Castle Green.
It was.
Then it changed and had a couple of other guys.
It did.
What made you bring it back with the same name?
I'm a firm believer on, with pubs, it's bad luck if you change their names. So I was like, right, what's her original name? And it was the Old Castle Green. That was the name that kept popping up the most. We were like, let's go back to the Old Castle Green. It's traditional. It's the original name, and why not?
Love that.
Did you think back then you would be hitting 4 years?
It was a funny one, no. To be fair, like, we all think, as soon as we start something, we think, how is this going to go? We obviously hope it's going to last forever, but I didn't have a clue what was going to happen. And yeah, when I saw the venue, I don't know why I said yes, but I did. Something told me to say yes.
Well, I remember seeing you post the photos up inside. It was
derelict.
It was awful.
Yeah,
there was, what a better phrase.
There was nothing. There was nothing on the walls. It was all brickwork. The toilets were nothing. There was no electric, no plumbing. The garden was a waste site.
What's been the best part of rejuvenating it for you?
The best part, personally for me, is just to see the regeneration of an old pub, which was nothing to what she is now and what we've done for everybody. I mean,
it is a very popular venue now.
Yeah, and I don't like to use the word popular because it in a way sounds greedy to the landlord, like the business. It's like we're doing it for, so, but we're doing it for the community mostly, and I think that's what's most overwhelming is what we've built for our community. And not just the LGBTQ community. I mean, we get all walks of life through the door, and we've built this hub, this community venue. I don't know what to call it now anymore, but
yeah,
we built this home for everybody.
Community home, like that's what it is.
It's what
like,
we are.
And I think this so, like, I know when I was coming out, or when I first come to Bristol, we had the OMGs and the Queen Shillings, and the OMGs felt like the only place you could go and feel part of your community. But now we have more stuff. We have this, and you stay open till 2 a.m. on the weekends as well, so you can come here and have a little boogie and party. And like, we need more options.
You don't do a little boogie.
No, I do a big ass boogie. But like, you know, like we need options. Like in Bristol, it feels like there's never enough options.
I think you're right. I think because Bristol is so far forward that we don't necessarily need specific LGBTQ venues, but we do need our venues for, like you said, when you were coming out, you didn't know where to go. And lucky enough, with places like myself, the Bear Bar, the Old Market Tavern, the Old Market Assembly, it's one of my favourites, not to have favourites. And these
nice
venues,
pizza.
Amazing.
Lovely
pizza, and most dinner.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about the old category today. But we need these venues, so when, like you said, you were coming out and I was coming out and everyone else was coming out, we had somewhere where we can go and sort of go on our own and feel comfortable. Because if you go anywhere else, even though they're accepting, if it's not a, say, a specific LGBTQ venue, you won't feel as comfortable to interact with people. And one thing we strive on is that you can come here on your own and you can have an amazing time. And like most of you guys here today, you've all come here. Yes, you're with the show at Radio.
We're terrible. We often come here after the show on a Thursday.
We're going to tell everyone.
Yes, you
come here a lot. Don't have their favourite menus. But like, you come here on your own as well, and you've all made friends straight away. And I feel like you've all had such an engaging moment with our customers and staff, and you just feel part of the family instantly when you walk through the door. And that's what we strive for.
I mean, that's testament to your work, though. Like, it's testament to how what you've done and what you've curated, because it's not easy to create a family vibe, but it's especially within the LGBT plus community, because we can be at odds with each other.
Oh, we can.
We can. Like, honey, we make whole lives and shows out of it. So, yeah, to create that family feel is so important. And I know that my friends personally have love this. I mean, you being one of my friends, I guess, Andy.
You
guess.
I thought I was dad earlier.
Slight pause there.
You're my radio daddy.
Now take us back though, because when you first took it over, a certain worldwide event kind of hit everywhere.
Yes.
Was that a good thing or bad thing for you? I mean, it wasn't a good thing for anyone, just to clarify. But from a, you had the venue closed and you were decorating. Did it give you a bit of breathing space, or did it like?
I was quite fortunate, and I really hate saying this because I sound really smug, but like, I know a lot of people in hospitality. A lot of my very good friends all have venues, and I know a lot of people struggled via COVID. I don't want to say lucky, but I was lucky to take on a venue as COVID hit. And that's because, one, I had the time to renovate the venue, do what we needed to do to get it up and running. But we also had a lot of free advertising, because as you all know, when you finish work, your heads are down, you're going straight home, you don't look what's around you. But fortunately for us, we had everybody walking the streets, so we had people asking us what's going on, because this was a closed venue to the public for, I want to say, 12, 15 years before I took it on. It was private events only, it was a private club, and then it was closed for 5, 6 years,
derelict.
And then because people could see what was going on, they were like, what's happening? And they were all asking, and we're obviously living COVID guidelines.
we're all locked up. I remember the COVID guidelines. Yeah. I remember you having to space this all out on the tables when you first opened it.
Don't eat the jacket potato. they're just for luck. but no, fortunately, we had a good time through COVID without...
It's okay to say it did help us
and I know it affected a lot of people and a lot of people were ill from it, etc. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'd be where we are today if it wasn't for COVID.
And a lot has changed already. I mean, you've recently redone the whole of the inside, haven't you?
We've done it again, yes.
And this, we're underneath the shelter. I remember the bit that we're under now is quite proper and wooden and nice. I remember when this was a marquee.
That was before my time. Yeah.
But then when you took it over, there was nothing here for a while, was there?
Well, it was a wasteland. It was just full of rubbish and rats. They've gone.
Really?
Your face then. You were like, get me out of here. There's
enough rats around me.
And you've got some future expansion as well planned.
We have rumours. There is rumours of an extension.
Where?
Yeah, to be honest, I can't keep a secret. I'm the worst person in the world. I am the worst. And there is plans to extend the pub next year. Not in the garden, because a lot of people were worried we were going to take away from the garden.
Yeah, they like
that.
But
we're not. But yeah, we're going to expand, moving our toilets into another void, opening up the back area of the pub. But on a more definite note, we've got a kitchen coming.
It's like a garden kitchen.
It's a container kitchen. Yeah. So like you see in Whopping Wolf, we've got a kitchen coming. It's meant to be delivered today, but it's tomorrow. So good friends of mine have...
Which is probably just as well, because I'm not sure you could have coped with us turning up to do a live outside broadcast and a kitchen turning up all at the same time.
Is there a kitchen?
To be honest, I was really, really stressed all week with everything happening. And like yesterday was my only like day where I had nothing booked, and still I couldn't unwind or do not nothing. But I still cracked on, and I wanted it in this morning, but no, it's coming tomorrow morning. We hopefully to be open middle to the end of September. So the void at the end of the garden is where it's going to go.
You have told us, but are we allowed to say what the plan is with it? With the different...
We're going to do pop-ups. I'm not going to announce the first pop-up yet.
Right.
Because it's not 100% confirmed, but it's a big name.
You're going to have like different chefs come in and do...
Yeah, so our plan is every month to have a different pop-up. So it will be...
We did loads of different things, but we had like nights out that people could come to. And now I'm actually really proud to have the baton move on to like the Q-pop group, because you know
they're
so great and so supportive, and you know it's like so important to both have youth and you know age in the equation of people that you know can come and share a space, because intergenerational LGBT relationships need to happen. Like they've revolutionized my life with Shout Out. So yeah, no, Q-pop is such a brilliant like intergenerational group, and I know they use this as their hub because they feel like this is they value it.
Hit the nail on the head, and like with QPOT as we call it, or QPOC, Butch Bar, Queer Men's Group, like we're very fortunate that we might not be able to like throw loads of money at helping these communities, but just giving them that space where they can come and socialise and not just in that group, but then can come after. It's just really welcoming to everyone. It's quite heartwarming for all. So I'm glad we can do that for them.
We got about 10 seconds till we finish the show. But I just want to say a huge thank you to you as well for sponsoring us coming here tonight.
No, I've really enjoyed it.
It's been absolutely brilliant. It's been lovely. I can't remember the last time we did 2 hours apart from Pride. It's brilliant to do it. So.
I'm glad we could do it here.
We were well looked after as well.
I've had so much fun.
We've been very well looked after, haven't we? So
excited.
And very happy birthday to
you.
For now though, that is it for a rather special show. A big thank you to Mike from OCG for sponsoring today.
2 epic hours, both will be available to listen to again on all good podcast platforms, as well as our website shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Hello, your voice changed there, Lara. We'll be back next week live from 7 on Thursday. You can listen to the first hour again tonight, midnight on BCFM, followed by a lovely 5 hours, nice calm music, no ads, no news and the like. From myself, the rest of the team, say happy birthday, everyone.
Happy birthday!
OCG!
LGBT Radio for you.